3. I know we started this, but I know we didn't finish, because I remember dealing with Satan and how he is the accuser of the brethren. So I think we got through the first 3 verses, but let's read Zechariah chapter 3 and find out what's going on. There's 10 verses. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be 7 eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall ye call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree. Let's pray. Father, we just want to come before your throne of grace this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your protection upon us. And thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace every day. Father, we just pray that you will help us today, through the power of the Holy Spirit in us, to do your will, to deliver the truth that you've put upon our hearts, and to receive the truth for everyone that is here. Father, we do pray for everyone that's coming in the way, that you will protect them and bless our second hour, Lord, that you will fill your house with visitors and with other brethren that are willing and ready to hear the word and be obedient unto thee. Father, help us in this Sunday school hour. Help our young people. Help the children also, Lord, that, Father, you will continually work in their lives and bring them, Lord, to a knowledge of truth and salvation. Lord, work in their hearts, we pray, and work in us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're dealing here with a bunch of visions that Zechariah is receiving from the Lord. We've seen already 3 visions. A man seated upon a red horse among the myrtle trees, chapter 1. 4 horns and 4 craftsmen raised up to terrify and scatter them, chapter 1. A man with a measuring line going out to measure Jerusalem, chapter 2. So all of these were encouraging God's people. Now, the title of this chapter is God Cleanses His People. So what's going to happen in this chapter is a picture of what God wants to do even today, amen, with Israel. What God really wants to do, what God wanted to do back then, and we'll see later in the chapter. We know there's some prophecy within this book, and we'll get to that. So number 1, we have the criticism of Joshua. The criticism. what's going on here? We have the accused, and you see this scene standing before the Lord, and Satan is there. So what's happening? Satan is going to accuse. We have the accused, verse 1. The accuser, it also is Satan. Satan is standing there, and he's like the prosecuting attorney. But aren't you thankful we have our attorney, Jesus Christ, if you're saved? And Jesus, go to 1 John chapter 2. We'll kind of go back and forth. This is 1 John chapter 2, the New Testament. Hold your place back here. Beginning in verses 1 and 2. My little children, these things write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Verses 1 and 2. So Jesus is our advocate. And that's the blessing of being saved. Even though you have an adversary, Satan, you have an advocate in Jesus Christ. Now, you have seen the Old Testament book of Job. And you understand what's going on there, how, again, we've seen Satan has access to the throne of God, where he accuses the people of God. Go to Revelation chapter 12. Honey, I'm going to need water, please. Revelation chapter 12. And going down to verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. So the accuser of the brethren is Satan. That's what it says in verse 9. Satan. The great dragon was cast out, the old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. So do you see what's going on? Thank you. We have here the accuser of the brethren, but we have our advocate, Jesus Christ, if we're saved. Now, we also stated something that's important to remember. Satan, when he talks to us about God, he's a liar. He's a deceiver. But when he talks to God about us, he tells the truth. Because he can tell God everything that you have done wrong. Day and night. He's the accuser. So that's something we need to really think about. You know, Satan's there accusing us, but if we have an advocate in Christ, then his, and if we confess our sins, 1 John 1, 9, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, then Jesus is there to take care of any accusation against us. That's why it says in the Bible, there is therefore no more condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So the Bible is clear. There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So we're seeing defilement, this filthy garments, back in Zechariah chapter 3. Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. So basically what we're seeing is his condition. You know, his, who is not filthy? Who is not sinful? Who is not in this condition? And so this is the true condition of everyone in the world, right? We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we've taken care of chapter verses 1 to 3, or one at least 1 and 2. Verse 2, the advocate. We already talked about Christ being our advocate, how he is at the right hand of God, interceding for us. And by the way, he gives you the grace you need in time of need. Amen. That's, you're supposed to pray. You're supposed to go to him in prayer, and he gives grace. And we have to also realize that the Father and the Son are both on our side. Amen. They love us, and they want us, they want us to succeed. They want us to have victory. They want to help us in time of need. And so that's why Christ, when he went back to heaven, the Bible says he was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Isn't that a wonderful picture? He died for our sins, paid for our sins. Now he's back in heaven to justify us. Amen. So Satan cannot accuse us nor condemn us for sins for which Christ died. If he died for our sins, then there's no more condemnation. I know it sounds like that's what grace is. Amen. It's not something you earn. It's something that God gives you. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Number two, the cleansing. And this is what we need. This is what everyone needs. In fact, verse 2, it says at the end, is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Amen. Isn't that what salvation is? Amen. We are a brand plucked out of the fire. And that's kind of the picture. This is salvation. And so, verse 3, now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. What a wonderful picture. And then, verse 5, and I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. Amen. So we see the cleansing of Joshua, number 2. Letter A, the Lord forgives. What does the Lord reply? Take away the filthy garments from him. Amen. That's God's answer. Who cleanses us? It's the Lord. He takes away our filthy garments. This is what forgiveness is. And as I know we have to keep reiterating this, but I think it's worth reiterating, is the same Savior who died for our sins arose from the dead and now intercedes for us at the right hand of God. Go to Hebrews 7, because you got to go back and forth to see the ministry of Christ after his resurrection. Hebrews chapter 7. Of course, there's a lot of verses in Hebrews, but Hebrews 7, 23. Well, go to 22. It's talking about Jesus is better. Amen. But so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. This is our testament, the New Testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. That's Christ's priesthood. Wherefore he's able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing what? He ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice. Remember, they had to every single day. If I was in the ministry, I'd be killing animals every day, making blood sacrifices all day long, every day. That's what they did. So it says, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once. One perfect sacrifice. When he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. What a better priest. What a better testament. What a better sacrifice. Amen? Are you alive or what's going on? Did you get in a car accident? Your head shaking or something? Like mine. So we have such a blessing in Christ. That's why we can say, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Letter A, the Lord forgives. Letter B, the Lord assures. Aren't you thankful that we can know what the Lord has done? It says here, and he said unto him, verse 4, behold, I have caused thine iniquity pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. So the Lord forgives, the Lord assures. He gives him this word of assurance. Listen, we have the same assurance today because we have God's word. That's what's going on here. We have the same in 1 John 1:9. He is faithful and just. You have to understand the Lord is talking to us. The Lord is telling us. He's giving us assurance that our sins have been forgiven in Christ. And if we confess, if you go to the Lord in prayer and you're saved, he cleanses you and he's your advocate. That's what 1 John chapter 1, chapter 2 is all about. So God is not only faithful to his promise, but he's also just toward his son and will not condemn his people for sins for which his own son had already been condemned. You see, God wouldn't be faithful. God wouldn't be righteous, just if Jesus died for all our sins and then he also makes us pay for him at the same time. That wouldn't be just. So we thank the Lord for everything that we have in Christ. Amen. So the Lord forgives. The Lord assures. Letter C, the Lord clothes us. Amen. Isn't that a picture of salvation? He put on some new garments. He took off those filthy garments. Amen. That's what they're called in verse 3. Filthy garments. And then he clothes him with a change of raiment. But these garments, you know, when God, and I don't have a lot of it written down, but you know what it talks about in the book of Revelation, that we all have what? White raiment. White raiment. So we will be clothed with that perfect holiness and righteousness of the Lord. Amen. And so the changing of his clothes is the picture of putting off sin and putting on righteousness. The clean clothes symbolize the cleansing of everyone who would trust and follow Christ, follow the Lord. But God's grace goes beyond forgiveness and clothes us in his righteousness. We have so much You look at the Old Testament there, the picture of Adam and Eve. Remember what they tried to do when they sinned against God? They tried to make their own garments and cover their own sin. Was it adequate? Was it sufficient? No. God didn't accept their covering. That's why God doesn't accept our religion today, our good works. Because it's our own effort to cover ourselves. And so what did God do? He had to kill that animal. He had to make that blood sacrifice. And he had to clothe them. And that was acceptable. That's a wonderful picture of our salvation. Blood has to be shed that sin might be forgiven. That's the only way. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, the Bible says. Hebrews 9:22. Without the shedding of blood, meaning there is no forgiveness. There's no passing over of the debt, the sin debt that we owe. Isaiah 61:10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful, my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. This is a wonderful verse. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments. And as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Isn't that the wonderful garments of salvation that God has given us? The Lord clothes, and then the Lord sets apart for service. A clean mitre was placed upon his head. This is being set apart. Remember, the garments of the priest were holy garments, and they were to show that they were anointed by God. They were set apart for service. Isn't that what God does? Isn't that what salvation does as well? Should we just be saved from hell and then just not do anything for God the rest of our life? Should we be saved from our sins and not do anything for God? No. God wants us to serve him. So his sins had been forgiven. Amen. He'd been given clean clothes. And the clean mitre would be placed upon his head. And he's crowned with that. And that goes all the way back to the book of Exodus. We could go back and study all of the garments. But remember, get this picture. The Old Testament, all those believers, they were to be a holy nation. They were all to be priests unto God, a kingdom of priests. That's what the Old Testament says. And then the New Testament talks about us. Go to 1 Peter 2. Verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So, brethren, what's it saying there? We are a holy priesthood now. We are to be offering. You know, it's just a picture of what God wants from us today in our salvation. We're to be a kingdom of priests, a holy priesthood. We're a spiritual house. And we're to be offering up what? Spiritual sacrifice. Not animal sacrifices. Isn't that sad that even in Africa, they still offer animal sacrifices? Not only in Africa, probably India and all around the world, people are still offering animals in their worship. But that's not God's will today. But spiritual sacrifices is an interesting term, because go back a few pages to Hebrews 13, just to give you an idea of what the Bible's talking about. Hebrews 13, verse 15. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Amen. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Isn't that a picture of spiritual sacrifices? You're to offer the sacrifice of praise to God today. That's that, and you're to offer the sacrifice of giving thanks. Amen. You're to offer the sacrifice of doing good. Communicating is giving. Communicating in the Bible is not, like we talk about communication. It's talking about giving. Giving monetarily. And God says with these sacrifices, he's pleased. So these are spiritual sacrifices today, thankfully. God receives them. So do you see very clearly God's purpose of salvation, God's purpose of cleansing is for the purpose of service. Now, number 3, verses 6 and 7. We have a charge. The charge for Joshua. Go back to our text. 6 and 7. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt judge my house, also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. Amen. The charge. You know, a charge requires faithfulness, letter A, requires faithfulness. What good is getting all these instructions when we don't do them? Amen. What's the Bible say in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 4:2? It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So that's what he's saying. He's saying that to him, if you're going to walk in my ways, you're going to keep my charge. See, he was encouraging him to be faithful, to obey the Lord, amen, to walk in his ways, to obey. That's when we think about obeying the ways of the Lord to keep his charge, brethren, we're talking about being obedient to God's commandments, his instructions, his regulations, all of God's word. And Joshua, as a priest, think about all the instructions he had as a priest. So he had to be faithful to perform all of his obligations, all of what God gave him. And so it's not just for Joshua, it's for all the people. This is what God wants for the people. We need to live according to what God teaches us in his commands, his covenants, his laws. And I think what we're getting at here, it's a privilege to serve God. And we must never take it for granted. It's a privilege to serve him. And if we understand that, then you should never take for granted that God's always gonna use you. If you become unfaithful, God can set you aside and use someone else. So we have to understand that it's a privilege to serve God, and we need to keep ourselves in that place of privilege by our obedience, by our faithfulness to be used of him. So to be obedient to this charge, it requires faithfulness, but letter B, it also requires cooperation. Aren't you thankful that God has others to stand by? Amen. To walk among these that stand by. Aren't you thankful that the Lord stands by us? Remember that when Paul was all alone, he said, no, but the Lord stood with me. You're never alone. Even though we think, you know, everyone else has abandoned us, we're never alone because the Lord stood with Paul. The Lord will stand. And the angel of the Lord, he stood before the angel, but God, the Lord was standing with him. Amen. Verse 5, and the angel of the Lord stood by, it says. And then he says in verse number 7 at the end, I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. Aren't you thankful that there's always someone standing by? Amen. They are standing with us. And so we're cooperating even with the angels of God. Brethren, I know we're entering into that spiritual realm where, you know, are we even aware of what's going on around us, like all day long, and the spiritual warfare and everything that's going on. It's real. There's a real spiritual world out here. You know, you think about all these sightings, you know, UFOs and this and that. It's not extraterrestrial. It's spiritual warfare going on. And the devil can deceive everyone with lights and with, you know, images to get people to start believing, you know, and they're going to come and take us away. And these are powers. He's the prince and power of the air. This is real spiritual warfare. Angels are also out there. Amen. God's angels. So don't be deceived by what the narrative, right? The narrative that people want to tell you. Amen? Are you with me? So the angels are God's servants. And are you thankful they're such an example? They obey God without fail. And we need to be that same way, obeying God without fail, just having that same attitude as the angels of God. And that's why we always pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in where? Heaven. Brethren, does anyone fail God in heaven? No. Why should we fail him on earth? Amen? Follow that example. I thought I was going to get done, but I'm not. As much as I want to, I'm not. Because I don't want to rush through verses 8 to 10 because it has to do with the coming of Christ, amen? And the Messiah. But anyway, do you remember, have you read the book of Daniel? I went back and read Daniel with Revelation. And it's an amazing when you start comparing Daniel with the book of Revelation. There's a lot of parallels there. But you see, you know, Daniel was very well aware of Gabriel and Michael, the angels of God, right? And what was going on, what they were doing. So that was what the Bible is very clear telling us. And then Matthew 24, go to Matthew 24, 31. Matthew 24, 31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Do you see how much angels will be involved in God's work? They are now, but they also are in the future. They were in the past. But aren't you thankful? We can end on a positive note. Letter C. The charge offers rewards. Amen. When you are obedient to the Lord, God will reward you. Amen. The charge offers rewards. Let's read that and then we'll end. He said, verse 7, Zechariah 3:7. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, that's a condition, and if thou wilt keep my charge, that's our part, amen, then thou shalt also judge my house, amen, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. Brethren, see the privilege of service, the blessings, We will be given authority in God's house. The courts of the Lord, isn't that part of the worship? Could you imagine being kicked out of God's place of worship? Some people, it doesn't even, get this picture. If you get disciplined out of the church, you are kicked out of God's house. His place of worship today. You're not in the courts of the Lord. I know people despise this as nothing. They can just go down the road and think they can just join some other house, God's house. No. God in heaven is righteous. He looks down. He doesn't just accept all this. So we have to, the Bible says, keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself in the place of privilege by obedience and faithfulness. Not taking for granted God's house, God's place of worship. Don't you want to be in the courts of the Lord? What would David say? One day is in the courts, in thy courts, is better than 1,000 and of all the pleasures of the world. Just one day in God's house is better than whatever the Hollywood offers, or California, or rich people. Amen. Luxurious mansions. One day in God's house is better than a lifetime in those places without God. That's what he's saying. So let's stay in this privileged and honored place to serve God, to understand how important worship is, and being in that place of worship. And this is the promise of the Lord. If you do this, then I'm going to bless you with all this. Amen and amen. Let's